Welcome to season 4 of the Be Your Own Kind podcast. I am so excited to share some new ideas and experiences with you and also introduce some more wonderful and fantastic people on the platform. Be sure to visit our site, www.beyourownkind.com, to be able to keep up with the latest news and the latest blogs and content. Also, we have a Facebook community that involves giveaways, touch base, and exclusive deals. If you like the content, be sure to tip your girl Lamarcha T on Ko-fi, located at ko-fi.com/beyourownkind24. Thanks again for your continued support and enjoy the episode. Hi, Trista. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Great. How are you? Go ahead.
How are you? Okay.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. You know, the sun is trying to come out a little bit. How's the weather in Lebanon?
You know, I think spring started this weekend. It's all of a sudden, the sun is out. It's been 20 degrees. So what's that like? 73, 74 degrees. It's been really lovely this weekend. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That sounds gorgeous right now. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I am a Canadian. I am a life coach and I am a humanitarian aid worker. So I am currently living in the Middle East. I'm in Lebanon, as you said, and I'm working full time. And then I am a coach for women in the evenings and the weekends. I've been coaching for a couple of years now, sort of one of those pandemic endeavors, you know, that I undertook when I found I had a little bit of time on my hands, and I just loved it. I just fell in love with it completely and decided to start my business. So I'm here working for the year, but also planning to transition to full-time coaching soon.
Nice. And your life coaching is based more on changing mindsets, right? From being stuck, like from feeling stuck. I love that.
Yeah. And so, because a lot of the work I do is based on causal coaching. So we don't want to be just looking at the symptoms, you know, like what you're actually doing in your life, but we want to look at the root cause. So why you're doing what you're doing, why you're getting the results that you're getting, and then have that understanding before we start to look at where we want to make changes in your life, and skills and tools that you can use and apply in every area of your life. So typically a woman will come because she's feeling stuck in her career or, you know, in her relationship. But then through our work, she's learning different skills and tools that then she can apply to her health, to her money, to her career, whatever it is. And it's a very exciting process.
That sounds very exciting. Very exciting. I love that. And you also have a podcast entitled Daring Adventure. Yes. What is that about? What is the main theme?
Well, again, it's sort of tied to helping women get unstuck and create the life that they truly want, depending on, you know, what that means to them. My life, I've tried to always live as a daring adventure. So, you know, looking to take, I guess I want to say risks, challenges. You know, I've traveled extensively. I've lived abroad. Now I'm, you know, starting my own business, working as a coach, doing the podcast, all of these things. So I've tried to make my life an adventure, and I wanted to inspire women to do the same, whatever that means to them. You know, not everybody wants to travel or live abroad, whatever it is, but to, you know, set those goals for yourself to challenge and to grow and to have fun along the way. It's all about having fun.
Yes, most definitely. And I just want to prick your brain for a little bit. What are some of the main societal norms that you feel kind of feed into women feeling stuck at a certain point in their life?
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on women to not only just sort of, you know, follow a certain path, conform. We put others first, right? We sort of go through a path once we reach, you know, adolescence, then young adulthood. We maybe finish high school, maybe go to college, get a job, get married, buy the house, have the kids. And, you know, a lot of times women achieve a certain level of success, but there isn't that contentment, there isn't that joy, there isn't that excitement. Maybe they know that they're meant for more, but they're just not sure what that is. And they feel like maybe there's a bit of a void that they just don't know how to maybe tangibly articulate, let alone how to start addressing it. You know, it's in our DNA to grow and to evolve, right? We have this drive in us. That's how we've evolved as a species. But we also have a primitive programming that keeps us a little bit fearful and a little bit worried and doubtful about whether we should take risks or set goals or make changes, right? The primitive part of our brain is designed to keep us safe and to protect us, which worked great when we were living in a cave, right? Because we, excuse me, you know, we needed to avoid pleasure, or sorry, seek pleasure, avoid pain, and be as efficient as possible. We needed to find food. We needed to find clean water. We needed fire. We needed shelter. Mm-hmm. And so the primitive part of our brain was trying to protect us and keep us safe. It, you know, going outside the cave, striking out on our own, making changes was scary, and it could mean life or death. Now we've evolved to a point where our day-to-day survival for most of us is not on the line. And in fact, we've gone the other way, right? We have all these conveniences. We have everything. We can pick up our phone, you know, press a few things and everything will come to our door.
Right.
So now if we want to get to the next level, if we want to grow and evolve, we have to overcome our primitive programming and all the conveniences that we now have at our fingertips. And so, as I said, we do have this innate drive to grow, but it's scary. And our brain will make it seem really scary because it's trying to keep us safe. So there's a lot going on. And if you don't understand what your brain is trying to do and how to overcome it, then, you know, you sort of do get stuck, right? You get immobilized because you don't want to quit your job to start your own business. You don't want to leave the relationship with the guy who's, you know, not lighting your fire. You don't want to move, change countries because you don't know what to expect. So this is my job as a coach, to help you just understand a little bit about what's going on and to help you process some of the thinking and some of the emotions that come with it so that you can make a more informed and rational, I don't know if it's rational, but more informed decision, right? And you're not letting the fear take over, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I love that because I love when you said we have some programming as women as well, where we're kind of we have a timeline right when we're born. Okay, yeah. When she reaches this, she's gonna get married, she's gonna have a kid, she's gonna go to college, she's gonna have a career. It's just, it's like a systematic type of timeline. And no matter how much the women movement progressed, we still have those primitive expectations. That's how I view it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of stress, and I think there's a lot of guilt about women. You know, do I go back to work? Do I not go back to work? Do I you know, stay home with the kids? Like, all of these things put a lot of pressure. People, you know, if a woman goes to work, then she feels guilty about not being at home. If she's at home, then she feels guilty about not focusing on work, right? Like, there's just all these dynamics at play that you feel like you can never get it right. You can never give enough attention to your family, to your work, vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And even thinking personally, like, I just had this conversation, I think yesterday, how before I even started my platform, I literally had put my life on hold for a couple of years, waiting to get pregnant, because that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? So it's like, and then I'm like, okay. So it turned out, like, I always say this platform started off to fill a void. You know, but in my mind, I'm like, was it filling a void, or did it feel like a void because I couldn't check mark that expectation, you know? Mm-hmm. Either way, you know, I went ahead and started the business, obviously, but just that type of mindset of how it just flowed out my mouth. Well, this was filling a void of not being a parent, and, you know, and so I'm like, but that is programming in a sense, you know? So.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. Yeah. No, it's not easy. It's not easy, you know, and I hear women talk a lot about people pleasing, you know, not wanting to disappoint others, trying to be there for their family, trying to be there for their parents, trying to be there for the job. And so there are a lot of demands, and oftentimes, even when women know what they want and want to make changes, they feel very torn between taking time for themselves, putting themselves first, you know, and there's this whole idea that it's selfish and that, you know, somehow it's wrong. And like, literally, I have clients that just can't cope with the thought of disappointing other people, but they will disappoint themselves.
Yep.
So it's very difficult.
Yeah. And what I loved about your website, when you open it up, the first sentence was like monumental, like, you are meant for more. I love that. I love that. I just simply adore that. And I just want to ask you, what was that moment in your life when you knew that you were meant for more than what you were currently doing? Like, you know, your life could have been your life, you know, this is not the life that you want, and you went for it. Like, what was that moment?
Right. That's a great question. I think there have been a few, but I mean, obviously the most recent would be with the coaching. Because I love my job as, you know, a humanitarian aid worker. It's good work. I have a fantastic team. And I had a plan to do this for another 10 years and then maybe do something else. And, you know, I could do that, and it would have been fine, right? Like, it would have been fine. I have a very nice lifestyle. I get to do some traveling. I'd be happy. And then I started doing the coaching, and I started coaching women, and it literally lights me up. Like, when I finish a coaching session with a woman, I am just like, it's so fulfilling. It's so much fun. And I just figured that I could continue as I was and be happy, or I could do the coaching and it would just be more. Like, it would just, it's like, here for the day job, and then here for the coaching. So that's when it really struck me. It's like, I could have just coasted along for another 10 years easily. It would have been fine. I would have had a good life. But I realized that there is more. and that feeling, that just excitement and just being lit up by that work, nothing compares to it. So I know I had to go for it.
I can see the light lightning in your whole energy when you talk about it. Like you're excited, like you can see the passion when you talk about that. So yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah. No, I've met some of the most amazing women.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, like, you know, whether I sign them as a client or work with them for an extended period of time, or I offer private 1-hour sessions. You know, if someone wants to try coaching, I invite them to get on my calendar, sign up for a session just to try it. And all the women I meet are just extraordinary. They're just lovely, really interesting women. So it's my absolute pleasure to be able to do this and to listen to their stories and to learn about them and everything. It's the best job. It is.
I love that. I love that. So also on your website, you quoted Colin Wright, which I'm going to steal this quote and put it on my Instagram, FYI. It says, "You have exactly one life," if it's okay with you, sorry.
Yeah.
"You have exactly one life in which to do everything you'll ever do." I am always saying life is not an audition. Like you gotta get all you can in this life, because we're only doing this like one time. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. So what are some tips that you can give the listeners to not only start living their best life, but maintaining that mindset?
Right. So, I mean, I think it's important, as you said, to realize that you do have this one opportunity, and that you have a choice whether you want to just go with the flow, or if you actually want to live by design. And I think, like, most of us tend to just go with the flow, but investing the time to consciously think about what it is you want. You know, most people don't know what they want. Right? And then life is just happening to them. Excuse me. So really spending some time figuring it out, like, what is it that you want? What would light you up? What would be fun? What would help you grow? To me, our purpose here is to see what we're capable of. Right? To set goals, to get to the next level, to see what our capacity ultimately is. And to keep growing. And so decide what you want, set some goals, keep going, have fun, you know, and excuse me, know that the fear and the doubt are always going to be there. As I mentioned earlier, your brain is going to try and keep you safe. It's going to offer you the fear and the doubt and the worry. But the fear doesn't mean stop. The doubt is always going to be there. Every time you set yourself a new goal, every time you challenge yourself, every time you want to get out of your comfort zone, there's going to be some discomfort. It's going to be there as long as you have a human brain. And that's okay, right? Allow for it and keep going. And just keep showing up for yourself. Keep showing up all the time. Don't make failure mean anything about you. Just keep going. If anything is possible, if anything is humanly possible, then you can do it too. And that's really what I want women to remember. If anybody else can do it, you could do it too. So just keep going.
I love that. Because you're not on a timeline. I think when you kind of like throw all those timelines in the garbage, life gets a little bit easier. That's just how I personally feel. Like, even when you start college, I actually learned that in college, because college was supposed to be 4 years. I graduated in six, and I was so antsy reaching that fifth year, and then someone said, "This is not high school. You can finish it whenever you finish it." And I was just like, I can. And I kind of like took that mindset and applied it to life. Like, when it gets done, it gets done. You know, like.
You know what? There are no rules.
Right.
There are no rules.
Yeah.
You can do what you want to do. Yes. And you know, we have all these preconceived ideas. And we've absorbed all of these ideas from our parents, from our teachers, from our religion, from our culture, from the media. But you know what? They're all made up. They're all made up. So you can decide what it is that you want to believe and what works for you. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that it's all made up, which means, once again, like I've said in other episodes, fear is nothing but a vivid imagination, in my opinion, because you're just fearing what could happen. It's just a vivid imagination. It's just you going in your Barney bag and creating this vivid scenarios of what could happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And understanding that that's what's going on, right? That fear is your brain trying to keep you safe.
Right.
So it's taking you to find the problems, find the negativity, right? And so refocusing your brain on spending that energy instead of worrying about what's the worst case scenario and everything that could go wrong, focusing on what you do, you know, what could go right.
Right.
Spending equal airtime. So when your brain offers you this, you know, doomsday scenario, refocusing it, you know, and giving equal airtime to, okay, yes, this could happen. And what's the best case scenario? And spend some time there. Spend some time entertaining those thoughts. And spend your energy, your mental energy and your emotional energy on thinking about what could go right. That's important. It's a great way to refocus your brain. You have to be the adult, right? Like, that's your primitive part of your brain looking for fear, looking for problems. So then you can use your prefrontal cortex, which is the rational part of our brain, the part that we can plan ahead, we can analyze, we can think about what we're thinking about. And so that's the adult in the relationship with our, you know, in our brain. And so using that part to say, okay, you know, enough of that. And here's what I consciously want to focus my attention on. Because otherwise your brain is just working on autopilot. So you have to consciously focus it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to be the adult in the relationship with your brain, because otherwise it's like a toddler.
Yeah, I don't wanna. It's uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't like this. You're right.
Exactly.
You're right. That's exactly how it sounds. I don't feel like it. This hurts.
Yes. Yes. It will give you all of the excuses. It will give you all of the reasons why you shouldn't do something or what, you know, all of it. And so you want to tap and use that prefrontal cortex to say, no, enough. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to think. Here's what could happen.
Yeah. I love that. I'm sorry.
Oh, it takes a little bit of work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we get all of these thoughts with the fear and they come easily. Right. And so we believe them, and we think they're the truth, but in actual fact, they're not. And it takes work and it will take effort to redirect your brain, to focus it on what you want to believe and what you want to think. But it's a practice and it's a skill. Just like, you know, when you learn to speak another language or you learn to play an instrument or another sport, you have to practice it. You have to put the effort in. You have to just keep reinforcing that behavior. But you know, it does get a little bit easier. It does get a little bit better. You will become better the more you do it.
I love that. I always compare that to exercise. Like, the first day is excruciating And if you keep at it for 2 weeks, it's not as excruciating. And then you look up a year later and you lifting cars and stuff. But with everything is consistency. And I always say, like, the theory is not hard. We know what we need to do. It's the application and the consistency in, keeping that up. That's the part. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's again, like, overcoming your primitive programming, because you can rationally, set your alarm and make a plan to go to the gym 8 a.m. tomorrow. But then your primitive part of your brain is going to say at 8 a.m., well, it's warmer in bed and maybe we're not going to have enough time, or maybe I can go later, right? And that's all the primitive part of your brain, because it's trying to be as efficient as possible. It's trying to conserve energy. And when you say, okay, I'll go to the gym later, your brain gets a hit of dopamine. So that's a reward.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So every time you procrastinate, every time you say, okay, 5 o'clock, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write this blog post. And then at 5 o'clock it comes, and you say, I'll write it tomorrow morning instead. Your brain gets a hit of dopamine. And so it gets a reward. And so you feel better, right? You feel like a little bit of relief. So your brain knows, okay, this works. I'm going to do this. And you're just reinforcing that behavior.
Oh my, Trista, if I had if I had time, I would put a light bulb over my head. Like, that is my life. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that later, just further and further.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pay attention to how I feel. I will purposely procrastinate, why not, and see purposely how it makes me feel, because maybe it is a sense of relief that I've never noticed. Like,
yeah, I mean, I know, like, especially like being back in school, like writing, having to write any papers or do anything. You'd be saying like, okay, Saturday, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write this paper. And then you start thinking, well, okay, maybe I can do it later. And there's like that instant, just sort of like a little bit of relief. You're like, oh.
You are right.
Yeah.
You are right. I have a planner. I have a calendar of what I'm supposed to do during a certain time. And I just move it back. I'm like, okay, if I can shift this over here and shift this over there. Okay.
So that's what's going on, right? And again, that's the primitive part of your brain. That's like the toddler portion. So you need to have that adult supervision to say, you know what? No, we've made this plan, and you keep your word to yourself, and you do it anyway. And that's really, sort of the secret to success, in part, is keeping your word to yourself. And so no matter what the primitive part of your brain says and tries to get out of it, you do it anyway. You honor your commitment to yourself. So you're not only just building that relationship, that trust with yourself, but you're getting stuff done, right? You're doing what you said you would do. And that's really, in the most part, what creates success. If you're not honoring your commitment to get the podcast done, to get the blog post up, to do whatever it is, then you're not going to be successful in your business, right? But if you can show up time and time again and be consistent and get results, then that's half the battle. It's half the battle.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. I love that. I love that. So I know that you want to touch upon self-love and self-confidence. I do believe that everything starts with self. So before we can be successful in relationship with others, probably need to work on a relationship with self. So I want to ask you, Trista, what are some particular things that you do to nurture your relationship with yourself?
I believe that my relationship with myself is the most important relationship that I will ever have. And that goes for every person on the planet, right? And building that relationship is really the foundation for creating everything in your life. As you said, relationships with others, but also, you know, whatever goals, whatever we want to achieve, whatever we want to create for ourselves. That's the foundation. And so for me, part of it is taking care of myself. I make sure that I am scheduling time to take care of my emotional, physical, and mental health. And so for me, there are some non-negotiables that I will do almost on a daily basis. I do try to do them on a daily basis. Sometimes I might skip a part, but meditation, I will meditate. If I don't meditate, I can feel it within a day or two. Like it's really, you know, important for me to help manage my stress, keep me calm, keep my emotions sort of on an even keel. EFT tapping, yoga, journaling. Those things are four of the key components of almost every day. And they really do help to build the resilience in me so that I'm not at the mercy of my emotions. And when things get a little bit busy, a little bit chaotic, when I have a lot on my plate, it doesn't affect me as much. So I need to have those as a part of my day. I need to be setting goals for myself. I have goals for the year. I have goals for the next 5 years. I have goals that I set, you know, I sort of break them down into quarters or to months. Setting those goals are really important for me to focus on, but also to help me keep growing. The goal, the end result is not as important as the process, right? It's who I'm becoming along the way. It's what I have to overcome. It's what I have to learn. It's what I have to achieve that really keeps me motivated and keeps me going. And then the other thing, you know, as we spoke about, just keeping my word to myself, making sure that if I'm setting a goal, if I'm making a plan for the day, whether it's to go for a walk or to meditate, I'm keeping my word to myself, so that builds the self-trust, that I'm showing up and I know I will do what I say I will do. Oftentimes, if we make plans with a friend for lunch, or, you know, we need to call our parents or whatever it is, we will honor that commitment, but we will break our plans with ourselves, you know, very easily.
Yep.
So yep. I've been working on just, you know, honoring my commitments to myself. And maybe one last thing is the way I talk to myself. I don't allow any beating myself up, any judgments, any, you know, critical, sort of criticism, self-criticism, like name-calling, insults, what have you. I am really mindful of the way I talk to myself and not to tolerate any of the criticism and the beating of myself up. It serves no purpose. It just makes me feel terrible. So just practicing that is really helpful.
Yeah, that's a all of those are good. I feel like you have to use your senses on yourself. Like you have to listen to yourself. Like you just said, listen to how you're speaking about yourself. Use your eyes. How do you view yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Even smell yourself, because you would get depressed and be like, oh, let me go hop in the shower. Like, it's just, you know, like, you just like we're in tune with other people, it's kind of like, not kind of, we need to be in tune with ourselves. And so I really love that. This sounds like you have a full regimen. I do want to ask you, though, what is EFT tapping? I've never heard of that before.
So it's emotional freedom technique tapping. So you're tapping on different acupressure points.
Oh, okay.
And so you can use it for anything. Like, you can use it for money, you can use it for stress, you can use it for your health. And it sort of helps to calm your nervous system. So it's very much for stress relief, for anxiety. But yeah, you basically go around tapping on different points. So you might be tapping on your hand, you might be tapping on your eyebrow point, your face here. But they're all different acupressure points. And so the idea is that they are helping to calm your nervous system. So it's a good way to just get some emotional balance, I guess, stress relief. Okay. So it's quite interesting. There's a great app. The Tapping Solution is a great app that I use for tapping. So if anybody wants to look at that, we can include that maybe in the show notes.
Okay. Yes, I will. Cause I want to try it out. I've never heard of that. So that sounds interesting. Yeah. So I mean, you've had so many, like everything you said, I feel like that you do for yourself. I had a follow-up question, but I feel like those are your suggestions to the listeners of what you do for yourself. It was just so many great things that you do that I feel like we could all, you know, implement in our life or strengthen in our life, you know, if we've already started some of those things. So yeah.
Absolutely.
So thanks for sharing. Yes. Thanks for sharing.
Yes. My pleasure. No, and these are things like I always recommend to my clients as well. Like, you know, you get a journal, do the tapping, do the yoga, do the meditation if that interests you, because it is very powerful. And as I said, the more you do it, the more resilient you become. So it just helps to keep you on a more even keel. But yeah, all of those things I find are really important to build that relationship with ourselves. So I recommend it to everybody.
I love it. So here on Be Well Okay, we have a signature question, and that is, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be and why?
Oh, good question. I would actually use the word adventurous. I love that word. To me, it has sort of been sort of a defining idea, I think, throughout my life. It's meant different things at different times, but to me, it keeps me growing and searching and challenging myself for, like, what else can I do? What else is out there? Like, it sort of just keeps me curious and excited and open to the possibilities. So I think that would be my word for myself.
I love that. Well, Trista, where can people find you? Where can they book a session? Where can they follow you on Instagram or other social media sites?
Yes. So my website is TristaGurton.com. So that's TristaGurton.com. I am on Instagram. So that's Trista V. Gurton. And my podcast is The Staring Adventure. And that's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Amazon, Google, all the podcast platforms. You can book the private 1-hour session. If you go to my website, there is a button to click and get on my calendar. And I can also provide that link for your show notes as well, so people can find me there. And as I said earlier, getting on my calendar, trying coaching for yourself is a great investment of an hour in you and in your life. And it's a lot of fun. And you'll come away with some value, absolutely. Whether, you know, you work with me or not, that 1 hour can be very powerful. So I would love to see everybody there if you're interested.
I believe you. We've been on the podcast for like 40 minutes, and it's very, very valuable. So if this is just a snippet of you, oh my. Do you have any future projects you want to talk about or anything additional?
I'm working on a few things, but I don't have anything right now. I'm looking at organizing some events, maybe a retreat in the summer. I'd really like to bring a group of women together in person. But otherwise, no, you know, I'm just focusing on my podcast and all the work that I'm doing one-to-one with my clients right now. So maybe later in the year, there'll be some more events to share, but I will post those on my website for sure.
Okay, cool beans. Any last words of wisdom you want to share with the listeners before we sign off?
You know, I guess it's just to say, like, if you feel like you're meant for more, it's because you are. And anything is truly possible. If someone else can do it, then it is possible for you. So know that the doubt and the fear will be there, but it doesn't mean stop. And, you know, this is your opportunity. So get out there and have some fun.
I love that. I love that. Listeners, I'm going to wrap up my that I got out of this is check that good feeling when you're procrastinating.
Yeah.
And do it anyway. We are designed to want to feel comfortable. So we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Also, make sure that you are pouring into yourself and nurturing your relationship with self. And Trista, I would like to just thank you for sharing those things and other great nuggets to get through life today, and just taking the time out with us and just sharing you, which I love.
Okay,
and
until
next time, everyone, please remember to be kind to others and as important to yourself, or more important actually, because you are the best thing that will and ever happen to you. So don't ever, anything we need is on the inside of us. I know, I feel like, okay, I'm always ending and never end, but I feel like, I don't know if it's just automatic that we look for things outside of ourselves. It is like we're not programmed to go within first. I've noticed that, like, as I get older.
Right. Yeah. 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 I think it's normal because, you know, we are sort of like a tribal sort of species, right? So we want to belong, we want to fit in, we want that confirmation that, you know, we're okay and that others want to be with us and we're a part of the tribe. So I think it makes sense, right? Because again, that goes back to the safety. If we're a part of the tribe, then we're safe. Whereas, you know, if you're on your own, then there's danger and it's harder. And so I think, again, like, yes, that absolutely is, you're correct, that does happen. And it makes sense why that happens. And yes, we need to consciously work at refocusing our, you know, what we're thinking and how we're thinking about ourselves. Yeah, so you're right.
Yeah, because I read I don't remember the guy, but he had like 7 reasons about the sense of belonging. And so I always wonder, like, how do you balance your sense of self with the sense of belonging? Because it's innate to do the belonging part. So that's kind of natural, like piggybacking off of exactly what you just said. So it's like, how do you find that balance? Because at this point, I feel like you have to create the sense of self, because I don't feel like that's natural.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a lot of the work that we do in coaching, right? It's having that support. It's having that, you know, that time and that objectivity to step back and reflect and then consciously decide what you want to focus on and what you want to create. So it does take a bit of work, and, you know, but it is possible. It is possible. And sometimes you need that support, you need that guidance, and you need that space to you know, for someone to ask you those questions and to be objective to help you to reflect and decide what it is you want.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm sorry, Trista, I keep going. Okay, so
we can do a part 2 another time.
Right, let's do a part 2. Let me stop, because I'm about to start a whole nother set of questions. I have to catch myself.
That's fantastic.
But listeners, another thing that I gathered out of this is another ending, is you're normal. Like, I love what you're saying, like the feelings of not wanting to be uncomfortable, the feelings of feeling stuck, the feelings of not knowing your purpose. That is natural. That is normal. And the feeling of fighting against it is normal. And so what I love about what everything you said, Trista, is you normalized it. Because some people kind of feel like, because you see people doing stuff and you're still stuck in this one place, and you feel like, what's wrong with me? And the main idea is nothing's wrong with you. Life's not over. You haven't peaked. You don't peak till death, in my opinion. You know, life's not over, no matter how old you are. And that is the main idea of everything that you said. And that is so inspiring. It's not over. So don't hang up the towel, keep going.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Your process, there's no finished product. Yes, absolutely, keep going.
Yes, love that. Okay, listeners, I'm leaving for real. Don't forget to be kind to yourself and kind to each other. Thanks again, Trista. And until next time, bye.